From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come to the final 16. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's still regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
It's Pavel with a four-length lead. Honorable Duty moves into second, trying to close. Mature in the outside, Hawakam, but they're all chasing Pavel. Pavel wins the Stephen Foster by three on the wire.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And Tenfold takes charge. Ricardo Santana Jr. and Tenfold have taken the lead, moving away from Flame Away. Vino Rosso kicking it in late. Tenfold is bearing out through the stretch, but Tenfold will win the Jim Dandy.
Wonder Gadot's in front, and she's dashed away in the Queen's Plate, ahead by a century and a second. But there's no doubt who's the best today, and it's all about Wonder Gadot, Wonder Woman herself, demolishes them in the Queen's Plate.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, sitting in for the Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna. I'm at Saratoga on closing weekend here at the Old Spa. Down in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios is my tag team partner here. I'm here every week on the Equine Forum. Jude Feld, our producer Lee Delapina, is down in the Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios as well. Can't believe it, Jude. It's closing weekend here at Saratoga.
Yeah, it's really gone by fast this year. Just a fantastic meet in some regards and a rough one in others. The weather was not very cooperative this year, but we saw some great racing along the way, and the last week's been very nice.
Yeah, last week's been nice. I wish I could tell you it's a beautiful morning here today, but I kind of can't. It's cloudy. We even had a couple of raindrops. I guess they were obligatory at this point in the 2018 meet, driving over from the HRR and cow pound, and then, not too many people on the apron yet. We're not really supposed to get any rain. It's supposed to just be a cloudy day, a little on the cool side. I don't think we're going to see 75 degrees today. We're certainly not going to get to 80. The breakfast crowd is a little light, but we have a lot of good racing here at Saratoga today, highlighted by the 65th running of the Grade 1 Woodward. You'll hear it later on this afternoon. The final Saturday at Saratoga of 2018. It's presented by visitbarbados.org. Rajiv Mirage, multiple Breeders' Cup winning jockey, Rajiv Mirage is going to join me 5:30 to 7, Sirius XM 93, and of course streaming live here at horseracingradio.net. And a wide open Woodward, one of the last Grade 1s of the meet. We have the hopeful on Monday, and then we'll pack things up and head back south for the fall championship meet at Belmont Park.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic weekend. I mean, it looks like the weather's going to hold, and the Woodward 14 entrance, that's pretty impressive. So good betting race there, a lot of possibilities, different ways to go. It's going to be a nice weekend. Kentucky Downs opens too. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and speaking of Kentucky Downs, we'll run the gamut today. We'll have C.J. Johnson on later on this morning to talk about Kentucky Downs, $10 million in purses this week. They've done some interesting things as well. They had some stakes races, some preview races over at Ellis Park earlier this summer. We'll talk to C.J. about that and everything going forward. Just a five-day meet, $10 million. Four fantastic stakes today, highlighted by the $750,000 Tourist Mile. Of course, Tourist prepped at Kentucky Downs in 2016 before going on to win the Breeders' Cup Mile. So we'll talk to CJ later on. We'll talk to my man Billy Badgett, the general manager of Gulfstream Park. He will talk to us about the Florida Stallion Series, Claiming Crown, Glasgow del Caribe's going back there on December 8th this year. And, of course, their championship meet. It's amazing. I'm sitting at Saratoga, but we already start talking about the championship meet down at Gulfstream. It's just 3 months away. Be here before you know it. So we'll talk to Billy a little later on in the program. Hall of Famer Mike Smith is going to join us by phone. He is here at Saratoga. Had some other commitments this morning, so nice enough to join us by phone. We'll talk to him about coming back here for closing weekend. He was here, of course, last week, grabbed two grade ones. Abel Tasman and the personal ensign, a little bit of a controversial decision to leave her up. And then Marley's Freedom in the ballerina. Today he has Chasing Yesterday, a half-sister to 2015 Triple Crown winner American Pharoah. Tomorrow he'll ride Dream Tree, both of them for Hall of Famer Bob Baffert. He'll also pilot Rally Cry today in the Woodward. Larry Comas, the voice of the New York Racing Association, will be here on site with me to wrap up the program and wrap up the 2018 meet. And if we go to our first break, we'll hear from Darren Rogers. Jude will talk with Darren Rogers about the passing of the late, great John Asher. I did not have the opportunity, the luxury of being friends with John or ever meeting John, but this is an industry, Jude, in which, you'll find somebody out there to have something bad to say about almost everyone. Not the case with John Asher.
Yeah, the cream always rises to the top, and John was certainly one of those guys. He had countless friends in the industry, and total respect from everyone. He loved the Kentucky Derby. He loved horse racing, and he was a guy that always made you feel good every time you saw him.
Yeah, that's what everybody says. And like I said, in a game, in an industry where that's not the case, it certainly has been the case with John Asher and his passing. And I know they had a little bit of a remembrance last night, and they put a show together. And I mean, it was really a who's who of industry titans, horsemen and media personality and media types. And it's 62 years old. It's just way too soon. We had a passing up here, Brian Morgan, who was a bloodstock agent, grandson of trainer Red Terrell. Everybody remembers Red from the Turn Back the Alarm days. His sister, Terrell Brown, is the wife of leading trainer Chad Brown. You know, Red Terrell's grandson, Chad Brown's brother-in-law, bloodstock agent. Brian Morgan was a racetrack character, and where I come from, that is the best thing you can say about someone.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in our business that are beloved. They come out every day, do their work, and they always think about the other person, and that's something that you can't say about everybody. But both of those guys were first class.
All right. Well, we have like we will every morning, we have a poll question for you today. And you can hit us up on Twitter at HRRN. Let's make it simple. It is a tough 85th renewal. 65th renewal, I should say, of the Woodward Stakes later on this afternoon at Saratoga. Post time right around 6:45. Field of 14. We don't have any scratches yet. It's a little too early for scratches. But field of 14. Who do you think will win the 65th running of the Grade 1 Woodward this afternoon as we wrap things up here at the Old Spa? Next year will be the 150th Travers. We've been here for over 150 years. Who do you think is going to win that? Woodward hasn't been here at Saratoga for very long. I remember the days when it was back down at beautiful Belmont Park. I remember watching the Woodward, and this always gets a chuckle out of people. I remember doing one of the most stereotypical things you could do at the racetrack, and that's standing on a chair. I stood on a bench. Don't worry, folks, it was a Ryan bench. I stood on a bench downstairs at Belmont Park and watched St. Liam and Ghost Zapper go nose-to-nose for about a half mile in the 2004 Woodward, of course. Ghost Zapper would go on to win the Breeders' Cup Classic that year. St. Liam the very next year down at Belmont Park. But, yeah, that's the poll question this morning. Who will win the 65th running of the Woodward Stakes later on this afternoon here at Saratoga? Again, you can hear it Saturdays at Saratoga, presented by visitbarbados.org, 5:30 to 7, Rajiv Mirage going to join me on that coverage, Sirius XM 93. Let's take our first break. When we come back, Jude Feld is going to talk with Darren Rogers about the late, great John Asher. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence Manufacturing, the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
In Kentucky, our biggest celebrities have four legs, and thanks to Kentucky Proud Horse Country, you can now have unprecedented access to these equine stars. From foaling barn to finish line and beyond, you can see it all. Log on to visithorsecountry.com to book your one-of-a-kind experience. With more than 30 horse country locations throughout the Bluegrass, you'll get access to multi-million dollar farms and facilities featuring Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown winners, famous broodmares, and champion sires. Space is limited, so book now at visithorsecountry.com.
Tom's Ready, a multiple graded stakes winning millionaire by Sire of Sires More Than Ready. As a three-year-old, Tom's Ready scored in the prestigious Grade 2 Woody Stevens Stakes at Belmont and defeated champion Run Happy in the Grade 3 ACAC at Churchill Downs before winning the Grade 3 Bold Ruler at 4, earning a 107 buyer, the co-fastest buyer at 7 furlongs in 2017. Tom's Ready, new for 2018 at Spendthrift Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
This is jockey Rajiv Mirage, and I love the Horse Racing Radio Network, the best show on the planet.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Silver Charm to the front, on the inside, Freehouse on the outside, Captain Budget. It's Captain Budget on the outside, Silver Charm at the rail, those two to the wire. Here's the finish, Silver Charm by a neck with Gary Stevens. Captain Budget on the outside, second by five, and Freehouse was third.
21 years ago, Silver Charm gave Bob Baffert his first Kentucky Derby win. It was the first one for John Asher as a member of the Churchill Downs press team. saying he's part of the press team doesn't do it justice. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like I said, I did not have the opportunity to know John. Unfortunately, I dealt with him a couple of times to get some work stuff done. And on, so I can tell you this, Jude, his Twitter feed, one of my favorites, always had a cheerful note, and more importantly, some really, really, he exposed me to some really, really good music.
Yeah, he was quite a music fan, and ironically, his last tweet, I think, about music had something to do with 50 years since Hey Jude came out. So that was that was kind of interesting. Yeah, he was a very multifaceted guy. So we've got Darren Rogers on the phone
by all accounts
from Churchill Downs. So we'll talk to him about John right now. How you doing, Darren?
We're hanging in there, Jude. Thank you for asking, pal. It's been an incredibly difficult week, as you can imagine.
Yeah, that had to be a tremendous blow, huh?
It really was. And just shocking. You know, you've known John for years, like many of us have. I mean, you know, all you had to do is, you know, you might not even have met John personally, but if you, he was just that type of person that you felt like you knew him. He was just a friend to everybody, but where I was going was John just never took vacations. You had to push him out of the office to do that, and he was taking a very rare family vacation down in Disney World in Orlando, Florida. Flew down there on Sunday, and he wasn't feeling well. Told his wife, this is Monday morning. And so much so that he mentioned that he he needed to go to the hospital. They called an ambulance, and he never made it to the hospital. He died of a heart attack, and he was just 62 years old. And it's just a tremendous, tremendous loss, and a lot of pain around the racetrack at Churchill Downs, but the entire community of Louisville. You know, everybody knows John for the work that he did around the racetrack, and the way he was a ambassador for Churchill Downs, the Derby, and the entire sport. But he did tireless volunteer work around the community. You know, if you wanted John Asher to speak at your event, he probably did. He never said no to anybody, and if he did, it was because he was probably already double booked. You know, he was just that type of guy, and he just had an amazing ability to engage and connect with people. And he's going to be greatly missed.
Yeah, no question about it. I read in one of John's countless obituaries that John made you feel like you were the most important person in the world.
Yep.
And that's how he was. I mean, I thought that was such a great description, because he talked to you, not at you, you know, how a lot of people do, you know, they talk to you in passing or whatever. But when John talked to you, he was so engaging, and you know, he was actually interested in what you had to say. And that's such a unique quality. And I think that's what made him so popular with everyone.
Absolutely. And, you know, you talk about that engagement, and he was present with every conversation and always made time for anybody. One of the, you know, the outpouring of love, you know, from the, you know, we saw a bunch of, you know, media tributes, and then the social media, the flood of, you know, ways that he touched so many people, hundreds of thousands, really. But he had that way of making you feel that you had a special connection with him. And there was a gentleman that replied to something on Facebook. It was a comment to a post that really just struck home with me. It said something to the effect, and forgive me, I'm going to paraphrase, but it said something to the effect. It was very simple. I met John Asher once at a Target. He was very pleasant. What a good man. And it was just so, and can't you just see John walking into a Target? Somebody probably recognized him. He said a pleasant hello, probably told the gentleman how many days there were until Derby, and just smiled. And this left an impression with this guy, you know, where he was able to conclude within one greeting of what a special man this was, the way he was able to connect with people. And he did that, Jude.
Yeah, he was old-fashioned in that way. You know, now mm-hmm. people that are, you know, famous or notable, they, you know, they don't have a lot of time to deal with the public or whatever. But mm-hmm. John never changed, whether he was talking to, you know, one of the biggest owners in the sport or a hot walker on the backside or,
nope.
you know, a lowly press person. He yep. was always the same and engaging and serious about, you know, what did you need? What can I do for you? And that's, you know, that is a mark of a great fellow. And it was tremendous that guy recognized it immediately.
Consistent and steady. I mean, it was like, you know, Eddie Delahousse was always that way for me, watching him ride. And never got too high, never got too low. John, though, was always really high. You know, I mean, he just had that special quality. I mean, think about, you know, we can talk about that ability to engage, but think about the traits that he had. You know, he had passion, and he was, you know, very compassionate as well. And I think what's most important is that, you know, he was very trustworthy. You know, when John said something, you believed it. And then you add with that, you know, his work ethic, the entire professionalism. And then he's chasing his dreams. You know, he grew up as a young boy in Litchfield, Kentucky, and he wanted to be on the radio. Guess what? He ended up being an award-winning journalist on radio. I mean, the guy won 7 awards as Kentucky's best radio reporter by the Associated Press. Not bad.
Yeah. And 5 Eclipse Awards.
Five Eclipse Awards. Five yeah. Eclipse Awards. And then he just loved being at Churchill Downs so much, and a job opportunity came about. He gave it all up. He chased his dreams to work at Churchill Downs, and he started working in 1997. So you got all those qualities, and then you've got this booming, deep, perfect broadcast voice, the personality, and then the smile. You know, he had the ability to walk into a room and just instantly command attention. And he just put, you know, he always put a smile on everybody's face. And then when you listen to John on the radio, or if you were talking to him on the telephone, he had one of those rare people that you could hear the smile on his face. I mean, mm-hmm. you could see it. You could feel it. Mm-hmm. It, you know, forgive me. It's still been a very difficult week. I'm just going to miss it. So,
yeah, I think you're not alone there. And as we go through, you know, the upcoming Churchill Mead and the Breeders' Cup, I mean, you're yep. going to see him around every corner, you know.
Well, he'd be very upset, Jude, if I did not mention that there are 245 days until Kentucky Derby 145, and the early forecast is sunny and 75. You know that was his trademark.
Yep.
Was his trademark.
Yeah, he loved the Kentucky Derby probably more than anybody that I ever knew, and he was kind of an encyclopedia about it.
The knowledge. Not only could he tell you, you know, he would have an anecdote, a little anecdote about every derby. Yeah. Every derby. I mean, if you just brought it up, he'll tell you something. He had his Rolodex of stories, you know, that he would pull into. And he'd forget if he told it to you 4 or 5 times. But every time he told it to you, it was like as if he told it to you for the first time you ever heard it. You still were amazed.
Yeah.
But you know what? you know, we talk about all the professionalism and you know, he worked all those tireless hours and, you know, spent, you know, he was the first car in, last car out at Churchill, you know, basically lived there. But John was a, I want John to remember, be remembered for being a, he was a tremendous family man. And he just absolutely glowed, that gleam in his eye. I could see it when he spoke of, you know, his wife, Dee, and of course, telling you all about his daughters, Heather, Aaron, and Emma. And then, you know, he has two grandkids, Caden and Cameron. And Caden was born in 2013, a couple of days after the Shug McGahee trained Orb won the Kentucky Derby. And, you know, John idolized all horsemen, but, I know he had a special respect, and he loved Shug McGahee. And little Caden is, you know, he's been forever known to us since he's been born as Little Shug.
Yeah.
And but John was a family man, and just a, you know, I think if every one of us could take a little bit of John, he's irreplaceable. And every one of us at the Downs, everyone in the racing community, you know, anybody listening today, take a look at that man and those qualities. And if we can just take a little bit, be a little bit better and a little bit more like John Asher, we'll all be better off.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, he was somebody to look up to and certainly emulate, and it's just a huge blow to the racing community.
Yeah.
It's been great to see everybody rally around that. And,
oh, it's helped. You know. It's helped. That outpouring of love, like I said, has just been, if you were building a Mount Rushmore at Churchill Downs, you know, from figures, you can obviously, you know, you can include horsemen or whatever, but if you just talk about important people in Churchill Downs history, you know, you think of Matt, the Colonel Matt Wynn, the former executive and president of Churchill Downs in the early 1900s, that, you know, really was responsible for growing the Derby into the spectacle it is today. The second man that comes to mind is John Asher. John Asher.
Yeah.
I mean, the impact. Like, you know, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but you were talking about just that outpouring of love. I've never seen anything like it, and it's, I tell you what, all the kind notes and the people that have reached out, you know, and all those posts, it really helps. You know, like I said, it's going to be incredibly difficult for a while, and if his visitation is on Tuesday, and we'll be at Churchill Downs in the Jockey Club Suites Triple Crown Room from 11 a.m. until 8 p.m. And if I could, I'd like to tell you about, because I know it'll, and I hope I don't break up telling you, because it's an incredibly special honor that I know John would love when his body arrives in the hearse at 9 a.m. on Tuesday to the facility. He's going to come through the barn area. They are going to take a break during training, and excuse me, he's going to take a lap, mile and a quarter, on the racetrack one last time, and I know it's just going to be an incredibly powerful moment and something I know John would love.
Absolutely. You know?
But he's going to get a chance to go a mile and a quarter on that racetrack himself.
That's
and,
pretty cool.
Yeah, it's going to be powerful, and it's going to be a great day to see a bunch of friends. And then on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday at 2 o'clock is the funeral. Well, I'm telling you, the place seats 650 people. it's
not big enough.
Churchill Downs is not big enough. I mean, let's face it. If you want to pay respect to the family and be surrounded by a bunch of great colleagues and friends, and even if you are a fan, the visitation is Tuesday at the track from 11 a.m. until 8 p.m.
All right. Well, That's going to be a great tribute to him, and
yeah.
We appreciate him, and we appreciate you and all the things that you do. Best of luck with the rest of the week, and know that we're thinking about you.
Well, thank you very much. It was an honor. It's always an honor to talk about John Asher. So have a great morning. And John will want everybody out there to bet a couple bucks on some races, so cash the tickets today.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Darren. Well, John Asher certainly was a legend of the turf, and now it's time for our segment, Legends of the Turf, sponsored by the Lexus Store of Lexington. We'll be back.
Shortly before 4 p.m. on October 18, 1952, seven thoroughbreds from around the world answered the call to post for the first-ever Laurel International at Laurel Racecourse in suburban Washington, D.C. And there was a solid, noteworthy feel on hand to contend for the top honors. Niederlander from Germany had Obi Skurlock in the irons, and he came into the race as the winner of the German Derby of 1950. Indian Hemp from Canada was the only three-year-old in the race, and was therefore in the receipt of £6 from the others while having the services of the redoubtable Johnny Longden in the irons. Will Win, an English invader by Pink Flower out of Saracen by Donatel II, was to be ridden by Emmanuel Mercer. Zucchero, another English invader piloted by Cheeky Charlie Smith. Rui from America and the most highly regarded of the three American horses in the field had the services of Johnny Adams. Greek Ship from the Brookmead stable had Eddie Arcaro up. Palater, the pride of Maryland, was the third American entry. John D. Shapiro, the Laurel president who dreamed of the actuality of the race, was about to see his dream unfold. At the start, which went off without a hitch, Zucchero went to the front, but rider Charlie Smith took him back off the pace, allowing Indian Hemp, the Canadian three-year-old, to go to the front to set the fractions for the first half mile. Johnny Longden, born in Canada and aboard the Canadian Vader, was a noted master at controlling the pace of a race on the front end. And as they went past the half, Greek Ship moved up along the fence to take the lead, and the German champion Niederlander moved with him on the outside to make it a troika up front, dueling for control. Then Greek Ship and Niederlander pulled away from Indian Hemp, and those two were heads apart going to the far turn, matching powerful strides. Greek Ship was the first to give way while the rest of the field began to close ground and bunch up as they swung around the turn in what was rapidly becoming a superb horse race. Zucchero and Will Win were moving fastest of all as they came to the top of the stretch, where the cagey Englishman, Emmanuel Mercer, got Will Win down along the inside to save ground to get to the front. As they came pounding down the lane, the Hasty House Farm's Rui, one of the American entrants, came flying down the middle of the racetrack with a wily veteran Adams putting all his skills to use to get the last possible ounce of run out of his mount. It was too little, too late. Wilwin crossed the wire a two-length winner, Rui second, Zucchero third. Then came Niederlander, Palaster, Greek Ship, and the fully spent early pace setter Indian Hemp. Arcaro, who rode Greek Ship, said after the race, quote, "No excuses. Those other horses just ran on by me too fast. I'd have given my right arm to win this race, but my mount ran one of his poorest races," unquote. Manny Mercer, the winning rider, was beside himself when he leaped off to hug his mount in the winner's circle. He had ridden a perfect race, keeping his mount off the pace in sixth place in the early going, allowing the early speed to kill each other off, then deftly driving through along the fence, turning for home. During the presentation ceremony, Will Win was accorded a huge ovation by the crowd, and that cheering continued on in a great display of international sportsmanship. That October day in 1952 at Laurel in Maryland, and the running of the very first international, indeed a great moment in thoroughbred racing.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus Store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus Store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
I'm Devin. I deliver sandwiches for Jimmy John's.
Freak Town, population Devin.
We'll deliver one sandwich.
Minimum freak.
Or hundreds of sandwiches.
Infinity freak.
However many you want.
You're mayor of Freak Town, Devin. Freaky fresh, freaky fast. Jimmy John's, freak yeah.
I'm Tammy. I get to Jimmy John's early every day.
Freak-a-doodle-doo.
To bake bread fresh.
Freak-a-doodle-dough.
And we keep on baking throughout the day, so it's always fresh for our customers. That's all.
Toodaloo, freak-a-doo. Freaky fresh, freaky fast. Jimmy John's, freak yeah.
Did you know since 1998, 236 Ellis Park race horses have won at least one graded race? 102 horses that ran at Ellis went on to finish in the top three of a grade one event, while 37 of those were grade one winners. Groupied All and Run Happy raced at Ellis and later won grade one Breeders' Cup sprint races. Keen Ice began his career at Ellis Park and would later on defeat American Pharoah in the grade one Traverse. Record purses, a new expanded stakes program, and $42,000 pots for Kentucky bred maidens make Ellis Park the best place to develop your future champion.
Ghost Sapper's best son, multiple grade one winner Shaman Ghost, will stand the 2019 breeding season at Edina Springs, Kentucky. A champion and winner of the $1 million Queens Plate at three, Shaman Ghost went on to capture historic grade ones on both coasts, catapulting him into the Canadian Horse Racing Hall of Fame in 2018.
Shaman Ghost, he has won the Woodward!
Midnight Storm leading halfway down the stretch in the big cap. Shaman Ghost has beaten Midnight Storm.
Shaman Ghost was bred and raced by Frank Stronach and achieved repeated success at the highest level while earning more than $3.8 million in his career. Additional graded wins by Shaman Ghost include the Brooklyn Invitational, Marine Stakes, and Pimlico Special before defeating the likes of Keen Ice and California Chrome when second to Arrogate in the inaugural $16 million Pegasus World Cup. Shaman Ghost, backed by the strength of Adina, standing in Kentucky in 2019 and available for inspection now. Discover the difference with Hiddenbrook Racing Partnerships. With 83% winners, 17% stakes winners, and 17% greatest stakes runners from horses purchased, partners enjoy success at the highest levels. Hiddenbrook has already campaigned a champion, 8 stakes winners, 3 greatest stakes winners, and 8 greatest stakes horses. In 2018, the partnerships have achieved 29% wins, with 46% of starters finishing in the money. Discover the difference at HiddenbrookFarmKY.com.
Hey, it's Corey Lannery. You listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Abel Tasman is the leader as they come to the top of the stretch. And here comes a late after her. And the two of them hook up again. And the personal ensign, Abel Tasman, put to a drive. A late takes it to her. What a furlong to run. They are nose to nose, stride for stride. Abel Tasman and Mike Smith, the late and Jose Ortiz. Who's it going to be? Abel Tasman determined. A late can't get by. Here's the wire. Oh, Abel Tasman did it. She won it by a neck over a late. It was 7 lengths back to Wildcat and furiously kissed in a final time of 1 minute 47.19 seconds. What a personal ensign.
Larry Comis on the call of last Saturday's personal ensign, Abel Tasman and Elate. Round two here at the Spa goes to the Bob Baffert trained Abel Tasman. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jude Feld and me, the Big A, I'm sitting in for Mike Penna. Nice enough to join us now. Just add her on to the pile of talented, amazing fillies. The King of Queens has ridden in his Hall of Fame career, Mike Smith. Nice enough to give us some time this morning. Hey, Mike, it's Anthony and Jude here on the Equine Forum.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Good.
Doing well, Mike. Abel Tasman and a late. Boy, they just they can't seem to get enough of each other, huh?
Well, they're just two extremely talented fillies, man. It's kind of like Beholder and Songbird.
Yeah, the battles are reminiscent of those other two fillies. It's just amazing how they hook up and fight it out.
Well, and then look at the time they ran in as well, man. It was an extremely fast race. I think they were just a little bit off the track record, I believe.
Yeah, she ran. They both ran dynamite races on Saturday. So I got to ask you, you know, the famous Mike Smith left hand comes out, and you guys bump. And you know, last year it looked like it was just some race ride, and this year looked a little more serious to me. A lot of fans joke about the jocks being called in by the stewards. Jude says it all the time. What are you guys going to say? Yeah, I bumped you. You should take me down. How did that go last Saturday?
No, I came out a step, but he also came in too. So, I mean, I came out to engage him a little bit, and we had room in between us, and he had the same idea. You know, the only thing is, I was slightly in front of him, so whenever that happens, it'll turn you out. So he actually turned me out. I felt I just took every bit of the worst of it as he did. It didn't change the outcome of the race. At that point, I thought I had him beat. Again, you know, he came in every bit as much as I came out. So you meet in the middle, you 50-50. What do you do? You know.
I mean, if I came all the way out to the
straight, then it's a different story. But as I drifted out a path, he also came in a path and a half. So
must be nice to have a filly like her. You can win the game.
Do what?
Yeah, it must be nice to have a filly like her. You can win the Kentucky Oaks from last, and the personal ensign the next year, gate to wire.
Well, you know, she's a different filly from a 3-year-old till now. You know, she's older, much more mature. She's getting out of the gate a little better, so now she has. She's always had such a turn of foot. Anytime you get a horse that has a turn of foot like she does, I mean, they can about use it anywhere you ask them to. Especially when they change it on their own, you know. So she's kind of changed her own running style. She's gotten to where she just likes to lay closer, which is fine with me. It keeps me from having to come last.
You won the Grade One the next race with Marley's Freedom. She's been a tremendous development. What do you think of her?
A whole lot. You know, I mean, I rode her early on. The first time I rode her, I won a race on her at Del Mar. But man, she's improved leaps and bounds. I mean, she's just grown, you know, bigger and stronger, and has really gotten good. That was a nice field she ran against last Saturday, and she man, it was very impressive. Very impressed with the way she ran.
Mike, you're back this weekend here at Saratoga, a place you're very familiar with, having really, you know, made your bones here on the East Coast and won a zillion races, it seems, up here at Saratoga. You come back this weekend for Chasing Yesterday and Dream Tree tomorrow. We'll get to her in a minute. But Chasing Yesterday by Tappet, of course, out of Little Princess Emma, makes her a half-sister to 2015 Triple Crown winner American Pharoah. Bob has her as well. Talk to me about her. She looked really, really good in her debut, and now she'll stretch out from the 5.5 to 7 furlongs today.
Yeah, she's really, really exciting filly. Thought a lot of her before she ran, and she certainly didn't let us down. She ran really a really professional and good race. First time out, she acts a lot like American Pharoah as far as her demeanor. Her demeanor, she's very kind. She's just a sweetheart to be around and just aims to please. First time, of course, second time out, first time shipping and new racetrack and going 7/8. We'll have to see, but she's got that kind of talent. We look for her to run a really big race today.
Yeah, she should appreciate the 7 furlongs and the way she finished off that fast pace. Very, very nice race. She's going to be super tough, I think.
Well, I would sure think so. I mean, she acts like, you know, the distance to ground is probably going to be her best. She's not really tall, but she's long, and she's got a big, beautiful, fluid stride. I mean, she's a very athletic filly, so 7/8 should be a good spot for her, and the filly that she beat that day came back and just got beat a nose last time out. So it shows she certainly beat a quality filly.
Does that stretch out, Mike, not just in this case with a filly like Chasing Yesterday, but does the stretch out from 5.5 to 7 concern you?
Well, yeah, well, it's a good-sized jump, Anthony. I mean, 7.8 is, as you know, it's a tough race. But Bob has gotten her ready for it, man. He's worked her for it, trained her for it. He wouldn't bring her down here if he didn't think she was ready for it. So although it is some sort of concern because you're going from 5.8 to 7, but I just know Bob, and I know he'll have her ready.
Talking with Hall of Famer Mike Smith. Back in Saratoga for closing weekend. He has Chasing Yesterday today. He picked up Rally Cry in the Woodward. Mike, you've been here for plenty of Woodwards back when it was down at beautiful Belmont Park. Of course, this is contractually obligated on the Horse Racing Radio Network to mention Holy Bull whenever we possibly can. That 1994 Woodward at Belmont has to be one of the highlights of your career.
Oh, it certainly was. That was one of, if not the greatest race he ever ran. I mean, it was just an incredible race that day. He beat some of the greatest older horses in the country from both coasts, and he didn't only beat him that day. I mean, he did the whole Holy Bull on him and just drew away and crushed that day. It was a tremendous race on his part.
No Holy Bulls in this edition. You ride a long shot for Todd Pletcher. Full field of 14, though. Can you ever remember a Woodward this deep and contentious and wide open?
No, actually, I haven't. I mean, it's a full field of 14, and like you said, it's a wide open race. So although we're 20-1, we're not without a chance. I mean, there's been a race or two that this horse has run that would put him in the winner's circle against this bunch. So I can just get him to run one of those two races that he's run in the past. So I wouldn't be surprised if he ran big at all.
I got an email this morning from TVG. They picked you right on top. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the support. I appreciate it. But, yeah, I mean, he's not without a chance. I mean, there's a race or two way down on his form that if he was to jump up and run something like that again, it would – I wouldn't be shocked at all if they didn't put him in there. So we'll just have to hope I can get it out of him. That's all.
Yeah. And they were right here at Saratoga, the Alidar last year. He won by 8 3/4 lengths. And then he came back and he was second to Gunrunner in the Woodward. So, yeah, I mean, I think if he runs either of those races, certainly in with a chance here this afternoon. We're talking with Mike Smith, Hall of Famer. He's here for Chasing Yesterday and tomorrow, Dream Tree. Yesterday afternoon, Mike, Jude Feld on our ExpressBet radio program said he thinks Dream Tree might be the best 3-year-old filly in training. You're going to ride her for the first time tomorrow.
Yes. And I mean, she's unbeaten so far. You know, she's coming off a long layoff, but this will be the first time that I'm riding her in a race anyway. I've been fortunate to breeze her actually out of the gate 3/4 of a mile a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, maybe three. But man, she worked brilliant. I mean, really good. She worked so good. Bob was kind of on the fence if he should come down or not, and she's been training so well that she just basically made him bring her, So that's another good sign. But she's doing real good, and she could very well be. I mean, she's unbeaten. She's done everything asked of her. Some of those races, too, they're close margins. I mean, I know that she could have. Sometimes she'll seem to wait on horses a bit, but in the last two races that she ran, she kind of learned to go ahead and open on up and finish her races. So she's certainly doing good and training well, and she's another filly that has a lot of upside to her. So we're excited about getting her back going.
Yeah, that's a nice mount to pick up. Just another good one for down the road. She certainly has Breeders' Cup potential.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt. I wouldn't. We'll see how she comes. Runs in this race, and then they'll decide what they're going to do with her next, and which race they'll point her for. I mean, she showed she'll go around two turns. She showed she'll sprint. She's just one of those very, very talented fillies.
Mike, as you look back on the career and all those years you came up here with my man Steve Adika, and we're on the grind for the 30-day meet back then, you know, up here the 5-6 weeks. Must be nice to come in now and basically, you know, ride the good ones, ride a card or two. Do you get to enjoy it up here a little bit more now than you did, say, 20 years ago?
Well, I mean, there's short trips, Anthony, you're kind of in and out, you know, and then to head back, you got to get up pretty early to head back in time to ride back at Del Mar. So, but I always enjoy it. I mean, anytime you get to come into Saratoga, man, it's just a special, beautiful place. I mean, you just feel it when you're driving in. So it's pretty neat. And then, you know, not to mention, you know, I started out kind of here when I was just getting really going. So it's a special place for me. And when I get to come back here, and then if you're blessed enough to do well, then that's just icing on the cake, man. It's just incredible.
All right, well, the King of Queens will be here later on this afternoon to ride Chasing Yesterday. In. I know you do. Chasing Yesterday in the Spinaway and Rally Cry in the Woodward tomorrow. Get to see him again to ride Dream Tree in the Prioress. Hall of Famer, the one and only, Mike Smith. Mike, I'll catch up with you in the room later. I'll come by and say hello.
Oh, I'd love that. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Mike. All right, and like all of our guests, Mike Smith will receive some apparel from Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion over at EmbraceTheRace.com. One of the best, if not the best, ever do it, Mr. Feld.
Yeah, he's very talented and just in the zone right now. He's winning 67% of the time with Baffert horses at Saratoga.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, my man, Billy Badgett, general manager down at Gulfstream Park, going to talk a little Florida Stallion Series, a little Clásico del Caribe, the claiming crown, everything just 3 months away from the championship meet at Gulfstream Park. We'll talk to Billy Badgett. When we come back, you're listening to the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miseralia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, fully stretched, but keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Derek Dolez have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
She wins it. Emollient for Mike Smith with a huge run in this grade one.
Gainesway Stallion Empire Maker is back in the USA with his first U.S. crop of yearlings coming to market this year. A champion on the racetrack, Empire Maker won both the Florida Derby and Belmont Stakes on his way to earning nearly $2 million. Now a highly influential sire and producer of 11 Grade 1 winners, including Pioneer of the Nile and Bodemeister, along with four-time Grade 1 winner Emollient and three-time Eclipse champion Royal Delta. And Empire Maker yearlings averaged $400,000 at the Basic Tipton Saratoga sale.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizu with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at BloomRacing.com.
How do New York Breds perform? They win in world-class company. From Grade 1 races in Dubai, where New York-sired New York Bred Mind Your Biscuits won the Golden Shaheen for a second time, to Belmont adding to his status as the richest New York Bred with a close second in the Met Mile. The Belmont Festival saw two more New York Breds become millionaires, four-star crook in the New York Stakes, and world record setter Disco Partner with a repeat victory in the Jaipur. New York Breds, get with the program.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front, a gorgeous millionaire son of the Great War Front, has wasted no time in establishing himself as a major force in the commercial marketplace. Known on the racetrack for his electric turn of foot, Summer Front's first crop weanlings averaged over $100,000 with a sensational $100,000 median at the Keeneland November sale, all from an initial stud fee of just $10,000. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
Mercari Bloodstock is consistently among the top consigners at major sales. Recent stars include Grade 1 La Troyenne winner Salty. The next group of top-quality fillies from Mercari Bloodstock can be found at the Keeneland September Yearling Sale, including Hip Number 226, a Tappet filly out of Grade 1 winner My Conquistadori, Hip Number 505, a half-sister to Salty by American Pharaoh, and Hip Number 958, a half-sister to Millionaire Grade 1 winner Miss Temple City by Medaglia d'Oro. Don't miss the Mercari Bloodstock consignment at Keeneland September.
Not since Danzig has a stallion seen this much early success. He's not just setting records. He's making history. The best start in stud ever. Uncle Mo, the momentum continues.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Bimini tries to play catch-up with Capriati, and they're at the top of the stretch. Capture Your Dream has now captured the lead at the eighth pole. Set Down After, as Nancy said so. Select Friday from the back. Also running home late is Capriati as they're inside the final furlong. Capture Your Dream still has the lead, and she moves away by two now. Capture Your Dream and Tyler Gaffleone to win the Desert Vixen by two in the end. Second, Select Friday. Capriati rolled home for third. Then Nancy said so.
Capture Your Dream, a perfect two for two going into this afternoon's Susan's Girl, part of the FTBOA Florida Sire Series down at Gulfstream Park. Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The Big A and the Pontiff. I'm sitting in for Mike Penna. I almost called him Mike Smith. Nobody wants me sitting in for Mike Smith. I can tell you that right now.
Certainly not you or I.
Plenty of no. 275 pounds overweight. We're sitting in for Mike Smith. We're sitting in for Mike Penna. I'm sitting in for Mike Penna. You know, Jude, we talk about the New York Breds a lot. We always have the Naira track on. We talk a lot about Gulfstream as well. We don't see the Florida Bred races as much as we do the New York Bred races. The program up here in New York calls for a lot of races to be run here at Naira. But in general, these races like the Florida Sire Series down at Gulfstream Park, the New York Bred Days up here, these state bred programs have really gotten strong and supported enough to justify big days like this down at Gulfstream, a couple of these Sire Series races, and they're really good for the state bred programs and for the states as well.
Yeah, well, you know, you have Cal Cup, you've got Maryland Millions, you've got these Florida Stallion Stakes that are just big money races now, and then all the New York bred stakes and races, they're required by law to run three a day on the average, three New York bred races a day. So, that really helps to bolster the New York program, which is really amazing at the end of the day. But, they're good for the states. They help support the breeders. People don't understand how expensive it is to raise a horse, to put all the money into breeding and then raising the horse the right way. And a lot of times you put out more than what you get back, and it helps to support the breeders when there's breeders awards for them and owners bonuses and all of those things. They help the bottom line for a lot of people that are involved.
Yeah. Great program. Billy Badgett's going to join us in just a few minutes to talk more about Florida Sire Day down at Gulfstream Park. Classical Del Caribe's coming back on December 8th, claiming crown. The championship meet at Gulfstream Park just a few months away. And while the championship meet's just a few months away, hay season is here. and that makes now the time to save on hard-working hay tools. For a limited time, enjoy extra savings on select John Deere mower conditioners and round balers. Pay a visit to your local John Deere dealer to learn more and be prepared with tough and reliable equipment. Offer ends October 26, 2018. Terms and conditions apply. See your John Deere dealer for qualifying products and complete details, or call 866-678-4289 to find out how you can get an equine discount of up to 28% off new John Deere equipment. That's 866-678-4289. Again, the offer ends October 26, 2018. Hour one's a wrap. Billy Badgett, C.J. Johnson, and the one and only Larry Comas come up in hour number two. And before we get to hour number two, let's pause 10 seconds for a station identification. We're back with hour number two right after we pause for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside, tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
Audible by three. Hoffberg can't get him. Mississippi is third. Five Florida Derbies for Todd Pletcher. Audible, no doubt about it. He won it by 2.5.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And here's Athena and Ryan Moore on the far outside, and suddenly they've gone by them all. Athena to the front, and she's pulling away late. And Athena will win the Belmont Oaks by 3 lengths on the wire.
Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect, and now he's just immortal! Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner!
Now, here's Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for the Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna. I am at the Spa, Saratoga, as we wrap things up for the 2018 season. Closing weekend is upon us. Down in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios is the pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, and our producer, Lee Delapina. Thanks to Darren Rogers and Money Mike, Hall of Famer, King of Queens, Mike Smith, like Apollo Creed's around when you talk about that guy. He has so many nicknames. Hour number two begins now, and it begins with one of my favorite people in all of horse racing. Jude, one of your favorite lines of mine is, he's known me since I'm in a stroller. This is accurate. With my next guest, I'm sure he'll have a snide remark about the stroller, Billy Badgett, general manager of Gulfstream Park and one-time trainer for Regina Stable and Dr. Bernie Abramovich. Billy, the Big A, and Jude Feld here. Thanks for some time this morning.
Hey, guys, how we doing?
All right.
I would have a snide remark about you, but I'm on the air, so I'm quiet for right now.
What's going down down in Hallandale Beach, Billy Bat? I'll be down there before you know it again.
Oh, good. Well, we're looking forward to you getting down here. Well, we're looking for a big day today with our stallion series. Obviously, 13 races, so we should have a jam-packed day, all very competitive fields, and looking forward to a big day. And the alliance between the horsemen, the breeders, and Gulfstream Park has become stronger and stronger over the years, so it's really helped. And plus, obviously, the participation from the horsemen entering all these horses really makes a big difference.
Yeah, the Florida bred program is outstanding, and it just seems to keep getting bigger and better every year. Do you find as time goes on, more people are interested in it and want more Florida bred races?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, we get the influx, especially from the breeders all the time. And what you're seeing is more and more people are getting back into the breeding program. More or less in Ocala and up around that area. You see a lot more prominent farms coming back into the game, and and kind of get some stallions back in here and breeding the mares, because the program has enhanced over the last couple of years. So it's well worth having a Florida bred for sure, especially with our year-round product now.
You got a couple of nice ones, too, down there today. The filly that Mark Cassie sends out in the Susan's Girl, race 11, 200,000 on the line, that captured your dream. She's been good in both of her starts.
Yeah, she was impressive, certainly in her maiden win, for sure, and then was a game, very game in her last start. So she was very impressive. And then you got the two colts, you know, Cajun Firecracker and Fully Loaded in the colt race, which should be exciting. Maybe a rivalry could be starting there, but you know, that's really a well drafted race also, and, you know, competitive. All the fields seem to be very competitive, which is, you know, makes it a fun day and worthwhile being in the races.
Yeah, the fans gotta love.
Gotta make your job. Go ahead, dude.
The fans gotta love the big fields and the competitiveness of the Florida Stakes too. I mean, it's good betting races. I noticed you got them pretty much stacked in the Rainbow Six.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you kind of try to plan it like that so you have very competitive fields at all in your pick six races. But you know as well as I do, Pete, that the handle makes all the difference in the world when you have big, healthy, competitive fields. You know, people would rather bet on a 12, 10, 11, 12-horse field than a 5 and 6-horse field any day of the week. So it makes all the difference in the world.
And when you hang up that much money for the state bred program, it's got to make your job a whole lot easier.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. They come out of the woodwork for these things, you know. Our maiden races are healthy, and that leads to the non-winners of two, and then right into the stakes. So it's a very, very healthy program right now.
Speaking of coming out of the woodwork, Classico del Caribe coming back to Gulfstream Park Saturday, December 8th. They literally come from all over the Caribbean.
Oh yeah, we're really excited about this year, and actually Jamaica jumps back into the program from not having a horse in there last year. That'll bring tons more people to the races, and it was so electric last year. We didn't know what to expect, but when the day opened up, the place was just busting at the seams. It's just absolutely unbelievable the amount of people that came that actually never went to the races before, but just came to represent their countries and the flags and the jockeys, and it's really, really exciting. So we're looking forward to having that again this year.
That was a great day. And Pete did such a fabulous job of announcing. A lot of those names were pretty difficult for people to pronounce, but I was so impressed with the whole program. You guys did a great job, and I'm really looking forward to this year again.
Yeah, I think it'll be even bigger and better than this year, like you said, with a couple other additions to other countries. And, we're hoping to maybe open up a contract with these guys and have it, you know, for years to come. They're all excited about having it in the United States, and they all had a great time when they came over here. So and it looks like they're going to have their Eclipse Award kind of ceremonies this year from the South American countries. Are going to have that at one night here, a couple of nights before the Caribbean.
Did either of you guys? My favorite part about Classico del Caribe last year. Did either of you guys ever take a listen to the Chad Summers in Spanish interview?
No. I wish I did, though.
It's amazing. You got it's on YouTube. It's on YouTube.
It is?
Just YouTube Chad Summers, Classico del Caribe, and you can thank me later. Yeah, you can absolutely thank me later. It's phenomenal. It's unbelievable stuff. Talking to Billy Badgett, general manager down at Gulfstream Park. You guys, Billy, it seems like you always have something going on down there. The Classico del Caribe's coming back, claiming crown, of course, and then that's how you guys kick off that championship meet. we have anything else in store? Oh, yeah, Pegasus World Cup. That's about it.
Please don't forget just the that. Pegasus. We're really looking forward to our third year of the Pegasus, and could be a possibility of maybe adding a turf race this year also. So that will enhance the day tremendously. That's kind of in the works right now. So that comes to fall, we'll have an unbelievable day. But we're definitely looking forward to...
Along the same lines as the Pegasus, Bill?
Well, hopefully, yes. Yeah, it's kind of just starting in the preliminary stages right now, so I don't really know that much about it, but hopefully we can add that to the program. And, once we start off, I mean, we've kind of built up our year-round program, which has come tremendous with 240 days of racing, so... just continues on and on and on and on nonstop.
Well, everybody says you're the hardest working man at Gulfstream, and I think it's great that they have a horseman in there to sort things out. A lot of racetracks don't hire horsemen anymore, but you know all facets of the game, the backside, the front side, and it's really great to have you there.
Well, I appreciate that. It's really a team effort from the top to the bottom. With Mr. Stronach and Melinda really being enhanced in the racing now, it really helps your job a lot easier. Makes it a lot easier when you got people like that behind you. So,
I'll tell you what, Bill. I'm sure, of course, the horseman and the trainer and you never leave. You have a couple of bug riders down there that I'm big fans of the Raylu Gutierrez and Rajiv's cousin Romero. We had him on Express Bet Radio a couple of weeks ago. What a good kid, nice young man, and they both can horseback a little bit now.
Yeah, they've really, really, really come around. You know, you never know when a bug boy starts out, but you know, they do their homework before each race. They're very polite, well spoken kids. I think Raylu's gonna move his tack to Maryland. Probably in a few days, actually, which is probably a smart move on his behalf because he's the two bug boys up there are losing their apprenticeship in about a week or so. So he'll be like the main bug boy there. And you know the riders that have come out of Maryland over the years, so it's probably a smart move on his half.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, Romero's really lighting the place on fire. He's got a good head on his shoulders, and I really liked what I've seen out of him. I think he's got a real, real future ahead of him.
Yeah, I think both of them do. Like I said, they're both nice kids, and they try hard. They do their homework, which is kind of a very important part of the game before you get on one and go out there. So they know where they need to be, and hopefully how the horse runs for them.
You know, I'm sure if you were still training, if they came to the paddock for one of your horses, you'd feel confident just telling them, ride your race.
Yeah, I'd ride them on horses for sure, you know.
He didn't get that. He didn't get that or he's ignoring me.
I think he's ignoring you.
I got it. I'm trying to be nice.
We were in the paddock one day before Billy retired and went down to Gulfstream, and my man Phil was in there with me, and Gilbert Schimalfi came out to ride one up at Aqueduct, and he just looked at him and said, "Ride your race." And the jock looked up at him as if to say, "What are you talking about?" He just said, "Ride your race." He gave him a leg up. Billy turns around and looks at me and goes, "What does that even mean?" Phil said, I have no idea what that means either. We got a good chuckle. We had some good times, Billy Bad. We had some good times with the big guy. Shame about Brian Morgan, huh?
That's a shame, yeah. That's why they keep telling you got to live every day. It's really unfortunate.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, Bill, thanks for some time this morning. Sure, you got plenty to
guys,
do to get Gulfstream Park ready to roll.
Okay. All right. Thanks again. We'll talk
anytime,
to you
man. You know that. Anytime. All right, Billy. Talk to you soon. Billy Badger, general manager, down at Gulfstream Park. You're not kidding, Jude. He is the, you know, and it's not just since he's gotten to Gulfstream Park. You know, he was the kind of guy, and I spent a lot of time in Billy's barn, especially the last probably 3 or 4 years before he retired to go down to Gulfstream. He's one of these guys who just, he can't sit or stand still. He, you know, he has no problem getting a rake and doing the shed row and, you know, picking a stall. He just, he always has to be doing something. He's perfect for a job like that down at Gulfstream Park. He's always moving.
Yeah. No, he does a fine job. And you know, it's so important because he has to deal with the horsemen. He knows what they're going through. And he has to, you know, deal with management. So he's a great foil for that. And just does an amazing job quietly. Right, he's not a hoopla guy. He never says, "Look at me, look what I'm doing." He just goes about his business and does it quietly and quite well.
Yeah, he. You know, it's funny. They tell you that to get to that position, you have to do everything. And I remember just sitting with him last year, doing Express Bet Radio. And he came by right before the show, about a half hour before the show. It was one of the days I did it with Chuck Simon. And we were sitting down, the three of us were just BSing. And there was a beer cup on top of a garbage pail. And you see that all the time. Bars, especially at the racetrack. Some of us racetrackers are a little sloppy. He looked over at that beer cup for about 10 minutes. And finally just jumped up and went and put it in the garbage pail. It wasn't in the middle of the floor. It wasn't on a chair. It was on top of the garbage pail. He could not sit there. And it had to go in that garbage pail. And on his way, he picked up like 2 pretzel wrappers and threw them in the pail as well. Like, so just because he has that title general manager, it is not, he doesn't see it as beneath him to literally clean the place up as he's going about his duties for the day.
Yeah, well, it's important to some of us who are kind of neatniks. I'm the same way. I pick up stuff at the track all the time and throw it in the trash. I can't stand it when people can't even, you know, bend over because they missed the trash can with their cup or whatever. I think it's horrible. But you want the place to look nice for your guests. I mean, it's just like running a restaurant, it's like inviting somebody to your house for dinner. You're going to do everything you can to make the place as clean and welcoming as possible. And when you have that philosophy, everything just goes better. And he's got it, you know.
Yeah. He's a good guy, great, great horseman, and doing wonderful things down at Gulfstream Park. All right, before we head to a break, it's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. Cambodia seeks another double stakes summer in Mabee. A year ago, Cambodia won the Grade 2 Yellow Ribbon Handicap and Grade 2 John C. Mabee Stakes, with the mile and the 16th Yellow Ribbon already secured August 4th. Cambodia will try to complete another double stakes summer September 1st in the Grade 2 $200,000 John C. Mabee at a mile and an eighth at Del Mar. "I don't see any reason why she can't," said jockey Drayden Van Dyke, who has been aboard for 6 of the past 7 starts for the 6-year-old daughter of Warfront. "She felt strong at the end of the Yellow Ribbon, and we know she loves it here." The meet leading rider entered the final week of the meeting with 9 stakes victories. The 7-2 second choice Saturday is Basilica. The Jerry Hollendorfer trainee has 6 wins in 7 starts this year, including a career-long 5-race winning streak that will be on the line. It will be the first race in graded company and the second start at Del Mar for the 4-year-old daughter of Skipshot, who enters off a July 21st win in a 1-mile optional claiming allowance race. That wraps up this morning's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. Blood Horse Magazine has been covering thoroughbred racing and breeding for over 100 years and is the industry's only weekly magazine. For feature stories from the industry's best writers, in-depth analysis, award-winning photography, stakes, shells, and comprehensive coverage of the ever-changing world of thoroughbred racing and breeding, it's Blood Horse Magazine. Don't miss an issue. Go to subscribe.bloodhorse.com today to sign up. Bloodhorse also has a tablet edition of the magazine, so you can get each weekly issue with no wait. Plus, it's free for all print subscribers. That's subscribe.bloodhorse.com. And for our opinions on the John C. Maybe, you can head over to horseracingradio.net when we wrap up the Equine Forum and take a listen to the weekend stakes preview presented by Naira Betts. Jude Feld and I go over 12 weekend stakes as we wrap the summer season at Saratoga and Del Mar. If we're wrapping the summer seasons, that means one thing. Kentucky Downs is here. The five-day meet begins today, and when we come back, we will hear from C.J. Johnson from Kentucky Downs. We're also going to bring you a new segment here on the Equine Forum, the Industry Star of the Week. That comes up next. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. Or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
The Maryland thoroughbred industry. For over 200 years, the innovative leader. Maryland was the first to have organized racing in North America and the first to establish a state breeders association. Maryland created the first thoroughbred yearling show, the first state magazine, the first state breeder incentive development program, the first international race to feature horses from four continents, and the first $1 million one-day stallion stakes event. The Maryland thoroughbred industry is the innovative leader.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Saturday, September 22nd for the 10th annual Race for the Ribbon. Another stellar card in store, six stakes races worth over $550,000, and headlined by the Grade 3 $300,000 Charlestown Oaks. And proceeds from the evening will go towards the fight against breast cancer here in West Virginia. The action kicks off with a special first post time of 5 p.m. Eastern. It's the Race for the Ribbon and the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
This is Jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Alice Springs midfield on the inside with 3/8 of a mile to go. Dutch Connections out wide. And back behind them, Ironicus to the quarter pole. One of you comes back to the pursuing pack. Miss Temple City is the new leader as they swing for home. And with her is Midnight Storm, and there's a split coming one off the rail for Tourist. Lamato is wider out. Photo Call tapping down the outside, a 16th to go. And Tourist on the inside just has the lead. Tapping charging furiously in pursuit of Tourist. Tourist tapping. Tourist beat tapping a neck. Third's either Midnight Storm or Ironicus.
The 2016 Breeders' Cup Mile went to Tourist. And the Tourist Mile will be run later on this afternoon down at Kentucky Downs. Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The Big A and the Pontiff taking you through a sensational Saturday morning. We'll have C.J. Johnson from Kentucky Downs, the Tourist Mile, $750,000 on the line, one of four stakes on opening day at Kentucky Downs. He'll come up right after we bring you a brand-new weekly segment here on the Equine Forum. It's the Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris.
This week's Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris, is Larkin Armstrong, bloodstock agent who has had an awful lot of success in the business and really has things moving in the right direction now. Larkin, first and foremost, you are the very first person to be honored in this brand new segment, the Industry Star of the Week. So congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Let's start by taking me through your approach and your operation and how you do things. I know you work closely with owner and breeder Jack Swain. You work closely with Joe Seitz and the folks out at Brookdale. Take me through the process.
Well, I kind of try to work with each individual client based upon, you know, what their goals are. But with Jack Swain, he's obviously had a lot of success that, like you were mentioning, but, you know, we've really tried to take the approach of really trying to breed quality race horses and do what's right with each of his mares to try to produce a good runner, really focusing on that over, you know, the commercial appeal of the resulting foal, with the hope that we would breed some good runners that then help improve the value of his horses and everything. So that's kind of where we've taken it with that, and we really just try to focus on quality over what's kind of hot in the market and look for that when purchasing horses, and then also take a really kind of patient and persistent approach, which Jack's really taught me a lot about that, because he's extremely patient and believes in his horses and is willing to just keep trying, whereas sometimes that's hard to do in this business. So I think the combination of all of that is what really helped.
Are there certain characteristics that are common to all of the top horses that you guys have been involved with together?
It's hard to pinpoint a certain characteristic. I mean, it's sort of, you know, general traits like, you know, athleticism, and horses seem to have a good mind and everything. Not all of the horses that have turned out to be good have been standouts all along, but they weren't horses that we disliked ever. Sometimes they just sort of blended in a little bit. You know, and sometimes the good racehorses aren't always, as yearlings, the biggest, strongest, most mature horses at that stage. They kind of develop later and with training develop the right way and just kind of keep getting better with that. And so that would be one thing I'd kind of say, is maybe they're not, you know, peaking as yearlings. They've gotten better with age. And Brookdale has done an amazing job raising the horses, you know, so they're completely in charge of that. And Joe does the consignments on all the horses and represents them and does an incredible job. And I think it's good when you have that, where the horses were raised on the farm sometimes and they know the horses and you kind of have that background, and they've got the same foal the next year out of a mare that they've sold the other foals of. And there's sort of a consistency there that I think buyers like, and we all just work well together. And I think you just have to get a team together where everybody's kind of strengths play well together. So
let me give you a chance to brag for just a minute. Talk about a couple of the top horses that you've had the privilege to be involved with that are always going to hold that special place in your heart.
Well, there would probably be, I guess, two of those. One is with Jack Swain. He's kind of started with that foundation mare, Charlotte Augusta, that's the second dam of Marley's Freedom, and I helped him with purchasing her when I was working for Reynolds Bell, and he just kind of took the term approach with her, and then he really wanted to go and seek out Relaxing Green, her daughter, and go after her, and then he bought back anyhow. I helped him with that. Another daughter of Charlotte Augusta, and both of those mares have become grade one producers, having Noble Bird and now Marley's Freedom, and Jack has a lot of that family and has done well with it, and I hope that there's a lot of continued success with that. For me personally, what's been really rewarding was purchasing a mare, Mesa Fresca, for Jack Swain, who was from a family of my cousin, Emery Hamilton, and I grew up seeing that family of horses and found that mare at a sale for Jack for $15,000, and then she produced Harmonize, who I always loved, who's by Scat Daddy, and she was one that Jack was interested in selling at that time, and I had always loved her, and asked if it would be okay if I bid on her, so he set the reserve and was okay with that, and I ended up buying Harmonize and racing her, and she was a grade one winner. And then Jack sold Mesa Fresca last year for $2 million. So, and he has a nice Medaglia d'Oro filly, yearling filly, that he's going to race. So it's kind of worked out for everyone, that one.
Yeah, it's been quite a ride for our industry star of the week, the first in a series of segments that we're going to bring your way here on the Equine Forum. He is bloodstock agent Larkin Armstrong. And Larkin, really appreciate it. Congratulations on all the success and keep it rolling.
Thank you very much.
All right, Larkin Armstrong, the first industry star of the week, presented by Stuart Morris. I'm sure our guest, Jude, coming up right now, is going to be an industry star of the week at some point, because he has done some wonderful things down at Kentucky Downs. My man C.J. Johnson from Kentucky Downs, opening day down at Kentucky Downs today. They got a few bucks on the line for the horsemen down there. $10 million, in fact, over the 5 days. CJ, it's Anthony and Jude here on the Equine Forum. Thanks for some time this morning.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Not as good as you, my man. $10 million? What's going on down there?
Yeah, $10 million total. It's been a good, since we got the historical horse racing machines, it's really been a nice little boost to our purses there. So, yeah, it's today's going to be a great day. We got four stakes highlighted by the $750,000 Tourist Mile. So should be a great day of racing. Full fields, great card it looks like. Lots of promising two-year-olds on the card. We got the juvenile races, so we're looking for a good day.
When they opened the dueling grounds, they never would have thought there'd be a race with a $750,000 purse.
No way. Yeah, back in 1990, I'm sure that this is the last place they thought they'd be, in 2018.
Fantastic what you guys have done down there, and it continues to grow. And congratulations on having beautiful weather for opening day.
Thank you. Yeah, earlier in the week, I didn't even want to look at the weather, just didn't want to jinx it, and someone asked me about it, so I pulled it out, and this is on, Tuesday, and of course, my app says rain from Thursday to Sunday straight, and I know how the weather is up here. It can change like that, and so I didn't put too much into it, and everyone's been asking me, how's the weather? Are you guys going to make it? Are you guys going to cancel? Blah, 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 and I, said I'm not going to make a decision until the day of, and we got no rain coming. Yesterday it looked like it was going to rain a little bit. Didn't rain at all. The day before it rained a little bit, but nothing bad, and we've continued watering the course, and it should be perfect.
Yeah, a sensational card for opening day. The stakes program. Brag a little on that stakes program down there, CJ.
Yeah, it's really starting to get a lot more attention nationwide. I've noticed this year in our nominations, we've got a bunch of California guys. Doug O'Neill, Peter Miller, Mandela, Baltus, Dan Blacker, Neil Drysdale always brings a few horses, D'Amato. So it seems like, these West Coast guys are starting to take note, and, they're really starting to nominate a lot of horses. But today is going to be interesting. The One Dreamer, it's a restricted stake for horses that haven't won a stake this year. And it's loaded with a bunch of former stake winners. And then you've got the Tourist Mile. Obviously, it's not a huge field, but I think it's a really quality field, you know, highlighted by Mr. Misunderstood. And you've got Bound for Nowhere, the Wesley Ward runner, who, you know, he's a nice horse. And then these juvenile races are, you know, I think we could get a couple potential stars coming out of these two races.
Talking with CJ Johnson.
Let me follow
Johnson
that up real quick. These stakes
down.
Races, it's part of an all stakes pick four, too. So, you know, I made him the last four races on the card, and that pick four's got a 14% takeout. So we should be looking at a nice pool there.
Now you're talking my language. All stakes pick four. Those, all you can eat buffet, all stakes pick
yep.
four. These are the things that I like to hear in my life. We have any opinion today? I guess would be the next question, because I know you're a pretty good handicapper.
And I'm gonna really narrow it down. I'm gonna wait till after scratches, but I think these juvenile races are so tough. You've got no idea what who's gonna handle the course. I think that's where you're gonna be able to find a good long shot. So I'll probably spread in those two races. As far as the one dreamer goes, I think On Leave is obviously the class, the shook horse coming up, finished fourth in that stakes at Saratoga. But then you've got, 12-1 on English Affair, who the George Arnold runner could, handle the course well. And then, I Remember Mama. That horse looks like it could be tough as well. And then you go to the mile. I think the class there is Mr. Misunderstood. So I'd probably single him on a ticket, but then in another ticket with some bees, kind of go Camelot Kitten, Mr. Cub, and Bound for Nowhere. But yeah, as far as these juvenile races, I got no clue, guys. These are pretty tough. You're looking at 11 in the juvenile, and then at least after scratches, I'm sure there'll still be 12 in the juvenile fillies. So that's where I'll probably do my spreading.
Yeah, that's a tough way to end sequence with those two juvenile races, but the payoff will be huge, and it's 14% takeout. So. You're going to get paid if you pick the right combination.
Yeah, and then next Saturday we got five stakes, and so I'll have an all stakes pick five and pick four. Four of those stakes will be graded. So, and also we're talking with Naira about doing a cross country pick four there. So, yeah, next Saturday will be loaded as well.
Any, I'm sure you get this a lot too. Do you guys think about trying to expand that meet at all, or do you like this little boutique feel where you put all of this money up and attract some of the biggest horsemen in the country?
Yeah, I think, I love the idea of the boutique meet. I think 5 days is a little too boutique. I mean, we'd love to go 8 to 10, but, there's in Kentucky, that we've got a good thing going with the circuit right now. We've got a good rhythm going with Ellis and Churchill and sitting there in between. Our problem, since it's all turf, we've got to give the track time to breathe. We can't just pound it for 8 days straight or whatever. So we've got to space those dates out a little bit. But as far as right now, I think we're going to stick to 5 days. But, in the future, we, as long as the other tracks in Kentucky will go for it, we would definitely like to run a couple more days. It's been, I think you guys would agree, it's tough having maidens run for 120,000, 130,000, but when you got to give that money away in a certain amount of days, you got to do it like that. So, it would be nice. But again, if the other tracks in Kentucky are happy with the way the circuit is, we'll keep it that way. And then, hopefully we can make some strides in the future and get a few more days.
Who came up with the idea to have that preview day over at Ellis Park?
It was really a collaboration between our racing secretary, Tyler Picklesheimer, their racing secretary, Dan Bork, the Kentucky Horsemen, and us. We had a surplus of this Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund money that is, you know, it came from our historical horse racing machines, but technically it's the horsemen. So we wanted to, you know, help out the circuit. We wanted to keep it, you know, these nice horses in Kentucky instead of them all leaving. And so, you know, we made the decision to transfer that purse money over there and try and get, you know, try and get some a local prep for some horses in the state. And I think it, you know, turned out really well. They had a great day wagering wise. You know, Brad Cox had a great day. He sent out some really nice runners. You know, Mr. Misunderstood won their tourist preview, and I think it worked out for everyone pretty well. I think it got some attention and kind of reminded people that we're coming up here, you know, in September. It was running only 5 days a year. People forget about us sometimes. So, yeah, but it really was just a collaboration between us, Ellis, and the horsemen. You know, we wanted to make sure that we kept some solid horses in the state. And as you guys know, a lot of times in the summertime, they, you know, all the top horses are leaving for New York. And so, yeah, it was, but I think it worked out for everyone really well.
I'll tell you one thing that I hear a lot from horsemen is about the purses there. And the horsemen have not forgotten Kentucky Downs. I've had at least 15 people tell me, oh, yeah, I'm saving that one for Kentucky Downs. So you got a good thing going right now. When people are waiting for your meet, when Saratoga's running, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been – it's I guess one of the – you know, these two-year-old maiden races came up with, like, I think 30 horses got excluded from it. I mean, everyone's bringing, you know, their two-year-olds and their stakes horses. They're waiting, you know, for a meet. And hey, I understand a second, third, fourth place check is, you know, as good as a first place check in other places. So why not?
Well, continue the great work down at Kentucky Downs, CJ. We look forward to the 5 days of racing over the next couple of weeks. Opening day down at Kentucky Downs today, led by the $750,000 Tourist Mile. Thanks for some time this morning, CJ.
Hey, no problem anytime, guys. Thanks for the support.
All right, CJ Johnson from Kentucky Downs. We'll take a break. When we come back, the one and only Larry Comas joins us to look back on the 2018 Saratoga meet. You're listening to the Equine Forum on HRN, your home for all of racing's biggest days and the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
This successful son of AP Indy has sired six millionaires, including Eclipse champion West Coast, a multiple grade one winner and runner-up in the $16 million Pegasus World Cup. This year, Flatter is adding even more stakes winners to his outstanding record at stud. In the auction ring, Flatter topped the 2018 Fiesing Tipton July sale with a $520,000 yearling. Success on the track, success in the ring. Flatter, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interest and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
How do New York breds perform? They win in world-class company. From Grade 1 races in Dubai, where New York-sired New York bred Mind Your Biscuits won the Golden Shaheen for a second time,
to Belmont, adding to his status as the richest New York Brit with a close second in the Met Mile. The Belmont Festival saw two more New York Brits become millionaires, four-star crook in the New York Stakes, and world record setter disco partner with a repeat victory in the Jiper. New York Brits, get with the program.
Hello, this is Stuart Morris. I've spent the last 30 years of my life in the thoroughbred industry. I've been fortunate to be surrounded by great mentors and great clientele base and phenomenal horses as I've come up. I started out with my father at Highclere and was fortunate to raise Silver Bullet Day. I sold the likes of Captain Steve and Silver Bullet Day. 3 years ago, I started my own consignment and have been very fortunate to have a lot of success in a short amount of time due to the great clientele base I have and the good folks that send me really quality horses that are raised the right way and get into good hands for us. We hang our shingle at most every sale east of the Mississippi River, and we hope to see you somewhere to buy your next stake horse at Stuart Morris consignment.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Seafoam in front with a furlong to run, drifting to the rail. Singapore Trader is next, and the far outside is Evaluator. Analyze the odds as fourth as they come down to the line. Seafoam from Evaluator, and it's going to be Seafoam in the Albany.
Seafoam, the New York bred son of Darley stallion Medaglia d'Oro, tallied a second consecutive stakes victory when taking the Albany Stakes at Saratoga last week under jockey Joel Rosario, making him your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro is the horse with the Midas touch. Having produced 21 career grade 1 winners, including the brilliant Rachel Alexandra, while Seafoam recently became Medaglia d'Oro's 6th 3-year-old stakes winner in 2018. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Larry Colmus, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And they're into the stretch, and it's Catholic Boy. Catholic Boy has taken the lead on the outside. Mendelssohn is full out toward the rail. It's 5 lengths back to Bravazo, who's now third. Then Vino Rosso and King Zachary on the outside. They're coming down to the 16th pole. Catholic Boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Catholic Boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers. Mendelssohn was second. Bravazo was third. And King Zachary was fourth in 201.94.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for the Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna. Jude Feld here as well. Nice enough now to be joined by the voice of the Triple Crown, the Breeders' Cup, and the New York Racing Association, Larry Colmus. Once he heard Mike Penna wasn't on today, he was more than happy to join the program. Hi, Larry.
One of the greatest equine forums of all time, actually, I think, this morning.
History-making. History-making, yeah.
Fabulous. Nice to be on with you guys. Both of you.
Just us.
Just you guys.
And Lee's listening. Too.
It never ends.
Wrapping up your fourth meet.
Isn't that crazy? 4 years here at the spa. And, man, it's been, they're all fun. And this year, again, just from day one until Monday, just every day is awesome. You just wake up and you're at Saratoga and you get to be at the best place around. And, you know, you just can't beat it. It's just awesome. I hope I can do this for another, like, 200 years. I know I won't be able to, maybe 150.
Yeah. You've had some pretty good, a good run of weather until this year.
Yeah, this year was a little rough weather-wise, but, you know, what are you going to do? More than 10 inches of rain fell, and I know they had a drought in the area before the meet started.
Right.
And all of a sudden the meet starts, and it starts raining, which is unfortunate, but we had to move a lot of races from the turf to the dirt, and despite that, not too bad. I mean, it seems like the betting's been pretty good. We're starting to recover toward the end of the meet with some nice handles. Travers Day was a record, and, you know, some great racing. Today's going to be amazing. Fantastic day, 12 races, you know, the Woodward, 14 horses, unbelievable. I mean, it's going to be, when do you see that in a grade one, you know, except for the Kentucky Derby?
It's been a good, it's been a good meet.
But you had enough of them for 3 weeks?
Jude, are you over there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here in the Jimmy John's of Lexington studio. Wishing I was up there with you guys for closing weekend, actually. But you know, I know the meet's not over with, and we've got some great racing coming up the next couple of days. But is there a race that kind of stood out to you as a special moment?
You know, there were a few things. I mean, you had the Bowling Green at the beginning of the meet, which finished in a dead heat. You know, and any time you get something like that, that's a big deal. Obviously, you know, you have Catholic Boys Travers, which we just heard, and Diversify winning the Whitney after a 45-minute rain delay. And, of course, Voodoo Song, who had won four races last year, runs in a grade one, ends up winning the four-star Dave. All of those, I mean, were spectacular. I think there's one thing that was above every one of those. And if there was ever a moment where every single person on the backstretch at Saratoga was rooting for one guy and he won, it was when John Hertler won a race here at the meet. John Hertler, a guy who trained Slew of Gold, who's been battling Parkinson's for years and hasn't won a race in like 170 starts. All of a sudden, he comes to Saratoga, he wins a race, and you could just see the joy around this place when that happened. And to me, that's still the highlight of the meet.
Fantastic.
John's a great guy. That's a good point. Very, very good. Yeah. Yeah, John's a good tradable, I believe it was.
Tradable, right.
Julian Leperu, right?
Yeah, it was a big root for you. You hate to, when you're calling a race, to be biased, but I don't think anybody was rooting against that horse, including people that had horses in the race, probably. They were happy to, if they were going to lose, to lose to John Hertler was pretty cool.
Yeah. Good. That's a right up there. I would agree with that. John's one of those guys that it's hard to root against John Hurt. We're talking with Larry Colmus. Wrapping up the Saratoga meet. I thought you were going to say the highlight of the meet was Monday when the flight left Albany Airport for Lexington.
That's right. When it would have been nice if Michelle had stuck around, you know,
and Jude,
of course, yeah. You know, but hey, you take what you can take, you know, and hey, it's all good.
That's right.
That was second.
I had dinner last night, by the way, with Marshall Cassidy, the longtime voice of New York racing before Tom Durkin, and the famous Centel Sonny Taylor, who's been a racing official here at NYRA for the past 125 years, and one of the coolest guys around. I call him the ambassador because he walks around and invites people up to his stand and, you know, shows them how they do things up in the placing stand and the photo finish, and he's just the coolest guy. But it was great to catch up with Marshall Cassidy because, you know, as a kid, that's who I was listening to. You know, Tom was here for 24 years, but before that it was Marshall, and I'm getting old. So, you know, when I was a kid, it was Marshall. So it was very good to be able to spend an evening of fine dining with Marshall Cassidy.
Yeah, that's right.
And Sonny.
Yeah. That's a great Marshall.
Ed,
that's a great Marshall Cassidy, my
friend.
Worked
hard on that for many years. Now, Marshall's great. It was so cool to catch up with him and talk about some memories of his days at NYRA and you know, just catch up. It was good.
Does Sonny show them the coin they decide the inquiries with?
I don't know anything about that.
No. Okay. I'm just curious.
Okay.
Yeah. We wrap Saratoga. You obviously have a very, very busy 2 months ahead. When do you start looking for? When do you start preparing for the Breeders' Cup?
Pretty soon, I would say in the next couple of weeks. You know, once you get through Saratoga. All of a sudden you realize horses are only like one prep away from the Breeders' Cup. So
yeah,
things start coming together and you get so busy here that, I mean, I hardly get to watch any Del Mar races. So my knowledge of the California horses is not that great yet, but it will be. I'll start. I mean, I know a lot. They've had some great 2-year-olds out there and I'm looking forward to get to see one of them today. American Pharaoh's baby sister, so that'll be great to be able to call and see her and chasing yesterday. And then, of course, we've got, you just start watching these replays of races around the country and around the world, Breeders' Cup-wise, just trying to catch up. And then as we get closer and closer, the great Michelle Penna will start getting me silks of the Breeders' Cup horses, and I will I will start getting those into my head and be ready to roll once we get to Churchill Downs, you know, and whittle away at the last changes by the time they draw the post positions. And when they come onto the track for those Breeders' Cup races, we'll know who they are and be ready to roll.
Well, another fine job here this summer, my friend.
Well, it's been fun. There's no other place I'd rather be. And, you know, the other great thing about Saratoga, I really love the beginning of the day walking around, seeing the same people and different people that come up and say hi. It's just something you get here that you don't get any other place. And I love doing that to start the day, even when I walk by Andy doing Talking Horses and he comments about my pants. But that's okay, too. There's just nothing like being here, and every day is, even if it rains, it's a great day at Saratoga.
Well, great job as always. Thanks for being a fantastic track announcer and an even better roommate.
Yeah, I try my best.
Yeah.
You do a good job doing the dishes, too.
We try, Lawrence. We try. Larry Comas, voice of the New York Racing Association. We still got to get to one more break. Here it is, the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence Manufacturing, the V-Mesh, and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Castleton Lions is home to blue blood sprinter Justin Phillip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Phillip is among North America's leading second crop sires, represented by the exciting Graded Stakes Place filly Safe to Say and Stakes Place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing in 2018. Justin Phillip is also the sire of What a Catch, winner of last year's Rockville Center Stakes at 2. Seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance. The sire of Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner, Dre Fong.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
Canadian classic hero, Sir Dudley Diggs.
Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
And marathon specialist, Runtime.
But Runtime, motors on the outside.
Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti, standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Do you know how fast you were going, son?
Call me Ed.
Do you know how fast you were going, Ed?
You mean exactly?
Yes, exactly.
No, not exactly. How fast?
Fast.
Faster?
You were going very fast.
Fast is my job, officer.
Fast is your job?
Yes, sir.
What kind of job?
I deliver, sir.
What do you deliver?
The world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
I thought Jimmy John's had the world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
Jimmy John's does have the world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
So you deliver for Jimmy John's?
I deliver for Jimmy John's.
So do you always deliver fast?
I always deliver fast.
How fast?
I deliver subs so fast you'll freak.
It's not smart to freak a cop, son.
You didn't order Jimmy John's sub, sir.
So if I did order a Jimmy John's sub, when would I get it?
Now.
What if I don't want it now?
Then call later.
Or I could pick it up myself.
Or you could pick it up yourself.
Because I'm pretty fast, too.
I'm sure you are, sir.
Very fast.
I believe you, sir.
Faster than you.
No way, sir.
Way faster.
In your dreams.
You dissing me, son.
No, sir, I'm polite.
Fast and polite.
Very polite and very, very fast.
Is that a challenge, son?
No, sir, it's a fact.
Let's burn rubber, kid.
It wouldn't be fair.
Why not?
You've got a fully blown V8 Camaro with slicks and headers.
So?
I've got a 10-speed bike.
I'll let you off with a warning.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meat.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Passion.
Pioneer of the night.
Performance.
She wins it. Emollient for Mike Smith with a huge run in this Grade 1.
Gainsway Stallion Empire Maker is back in the USA with his first U.S. crop of yearlings coming to market this year. A champion on the racetrack, Empire Maker won both the Florida Derby and Belmont Stakes on his way to earning nearly $2 million. Now a highly influential sire and producer of 11 Grade 1 winners, including Pioneer of the Nile and Bodemeister, along with four-time Grade 1 winner Emollient and three-time Eclipse champion Royal Delta. And Empire Maker yearlings averaged $400,000 at the Basic Tipton Saratoga sale.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
Welcome back to Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on HRRN. The Big A and the Pontiff wrapping it up on a sensational Saturday morning. But don't forget, today at 5:30, you'll want to tune to Sirius XM 93 or Stream it live at horseracingradio.net. The final Saturday at Saratoga, presented by visitbarbados.org, comes your way at 5:30. Rajiv Viraj joins me for coverage of the Saranac Spinaway and Grade 1 Woodward. Final thoughts on the meet, Jude?
Well, I think it was a little rough with the rain, but the last week's been sensational. We still got a few more days to go, so looking forward to the weekend racing and see who comes to the fore there.
We have 35 races left here at the Spa, 12 today, 12 tomorrow, 11 on Monday, so plenty of time to get out. That's what I'm going to try to do. And if you need help getting out, head on over to horseracingradio.net. Take a listen to the weekend stakes preview presented by Naira Betts. Jude and I went over a dozen stakes races today and tomorrow last night right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Thanks to all our guests today, Darren Rogers, CJ Johnson, Mike Smith, Larry Colmus, and Billy Badgett. For Jude Feld and Lee Delapina, I'm the Big A. Talk to you a little later on. Jude, tell them what you got to tell them.
Good night, Barbados.